afternoon, everybody. During a speech on board the USS Missouri, as the Japanese Imperial Forces prepared to sign the instrument of surrender in August of 1945, General Douglas MacArthur uttered the following words: "Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. Various methods through the ages have attempted to devise an international process to prevent or settle disputes between nations. From the very start, workable methods were found insofar as individual citizens were concerned." He obviously forgot about Cain and Abel. "But the mechanics of an instrumentality of larger international scope have never been successful. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn have failed, leaving the only path to be by the way of the crucible of war. We have had our last chance. If we do not now devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. As we now know, since we are in the millennium, mankind did fail miserably. Armageddon did occur. But as promised, Jesus Christ did return, an event that all witnessed. Humanity, although decimated, was preserved, having passed through the greatest time of trouble ever to have been experienced by mankind. It will be our job to teach people who actually lived through that awful time of trouble, the most appalling crucible of war ever to have occurred in 6,000 years of human existence. Today, in the time available to me, I would like to draw our attention to the fact that peace is more than merely the absence of war. It is the result of a completely different mindset. We need to know this because this is what we will be teaching in the millennium. We will be teaching it to the inhabitants of our cities and the communities in the millennium. Peace is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that will be guiding everyone in a new way of life. Having listened to Mr. Bowles' sermon on the first day of the feast and Mr. Henderson's yesterday, it is highly probable that someone will say that they've heard what I'm going to say already. As it says in the Spokesman Club instruction manual for the instruct speech, tell them what you're going to say, then tell them, and when you've done that, tell them what you did tell them. Those words must have been inspired, because invariably it always happens at the feast. So what do we understand by the word peace? It has to be more than the occurrence of harmony characterized by the lack of violence or conflicting behavioral patterns. It also has to be more than the freedom from fear of violence. Many understand peace as the absence of hostility and retribution. But peace suggests more than sincere attempts at reconciliation. It has to do with the existence of a healthy, newly healed relationship. It has to do with being able to communicate peaceably with one another. Peace is both a spiritual reality experienced between people and an internal freedom from anxiety. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, this is expressed as moderation, not being overly concerned and anxious about the daily burdens of life. We will be drawing the attention of our students to the fact that the peace that God has for mankind is something so sublime that mankind has failed to understand it in 6,000 years of seeking peace. Here in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, we see these words. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The eternal is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means don't be overly anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It was as General MacArthur said, peace has to be of the Spirit. This is something that we will be teaching those under our charge. We will have learned from the Prince of Peace himself that the fruit of the Spirit includes peace. We will be teaching that people do not have to be overly concerned about anything. War is a thing of the past, as is terrorism. In the 20th and 21st centuries, mass vaccination was attempted to be enforced by various governments as dreadful diseases emerged. But our people under our charge will have been taught the laws of health, and so they will not have this anxiety to worry about. We will be teaching those in our cities and localities that by obeying the laws of God, that they will be given peace. The peace will include the state of mind, of tranquility. Turning now to Leviticus chapter 26 and verses 3, we find that obedience to God's law results in the sort of peace and tranquility that mankind has dreamt of for millennia. This is not pie in the sky. It is the recipe for peace given by God, which with God's Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh will become the normal way of life. As King David said, great peace have they who keep God's commandments. And here in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse 3, we find the following. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in your land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Again, it was as General MacArthur said, peace has to be of the Spirit. Then also, it was as God said, the time would come that he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh, as recorded by the prophet Joel in the second chapter of the book bearing his name. That time came. Peace is not a cold word found in some treaty. It is the result of a way of life. A way of life that we will be teaching. Matthew recorded the words of the Beatitudes, in which we find the statement, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It is our job to ensure that those who are placed in our care are properly schooled in the way of life that leads to peace, the kind of peace that our Saviour gave us. Turning now to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6, we find something that will give us the encouragement that we will need at the time when we are the teachers. Giving the instruction, this is the way, walk you in it. At that time, we ourselves will have already been qualified under the tutorship of the Prince of Peace, who will be on his throne in Jerusalem. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, and beginning in verse 6, we read the following words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even for ever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. Our responsibility will be to teach peace to our communities, to ensure that there will be no impediment to the increase of God's government and his peace throughout the whole of the universe. It will be the teaching of the family of God that will be crucial in ensuring that there will be no end to that increase of God's government and peace. We will be teaching that true peace begins internally. It is peace of mind, referring to a state of being mentally and spiritually at peace, tranquil, with enough faith and courage to keep oneself strong as the responsibilities of the future unfold. Remember that when we have taught in our cities and our environments, that the students of ours will be required to go into their communities following the end of the millennium, and they will be teaching their communities what we have taught them, thus ensuring that the increase of his, that is God's government and peace, there will be no end. In conclusion, I'd like to refer to the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 27. The Messiah said to us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is the peace that we will be teaching. We will be teaching people to be peacemakers, showing that peace comes from the obedience to all of God's laws. We will be teaching how to live in peace in a world ruled by the Prince of Peace. The peace which at this present time passes all understanding, but which will then be fully understood, appreciated and enjoyed by every person on this earth. And we have the responsibility to teach that way of peace.